Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your radio happy hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from the Super Talk Mississippi app. And of course, you can always find us on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. And we are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. Today, we're going to talk about one of the sports that I feel like has been groundswelling for a long time here in Mississippi. It's been around for a while, but finally, they're getting their own club, the Mississippi Triathlon Club. Joining us is one of their newly formed board members, Donovan Lewis, to tell us a little bit more. So welcome, Donovan.
Thank you, Rebecca. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I am glad to have you here. And it feels like, because I've been in the running community for as long as I've been back to Central Mississippi, and it's thriving. There's running communities thriving all throughout Mississippi. And I felt like the next step for so many runners was to get into triathlons. But it felt like once you stepped out of that, you kind of were on your own a little bit more. I know there were small pockets of groups and communities, but nothing really formalized. Have you guys felt that way for a while also?
Absolutely. I mean, every time you finish a run or a workout, you're like, well, man, if we had a club.
You know? How many times has that been said, Donovan, if we had a club?
If I had a nickel, I probably wouldn't be here.
Yeah. So finally, there's a club. So how did the Mississippi Triathlon Club come about?
It came together sitting on the back of a tailgate after we just finished a run. Rissa and myself and Brittany and my girlfriend Jennifer, we're just kind of back there, and we're like, you know, we miss the days of the friendship of being able to do triathlon and share that that sport with other friends and actually have, you know, just a group around us. We miss that, you know, so we decided to do something about it. And sure enough, several months later, here we are.
What are the hurdles you have to go through, Donovan, to start a club? Because I know it's one thing to say, hey, we'll start a Facebook group, you know, which I think there's plenty of, there have been those in the past, or there probably still are, that are popular. Mm-hmm. But y'all are taking it that next level so you can kind of be more organized, official, make an impact for the sport throughout the state.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, back in the day, 10 years ago, you know, it was just all of, you know, did you have a Facebook page? And, you know, once everybody found out, there you go. But, you know, with this go around, our members and board decided to do this right. And so we've actually not only got the Facebook page, not only have the website, but we're an official non-for-profit organization. And so we put a lot of work into that. Our board members have skill sets ranging from IT to medical to legal, everything. We've got a fantastic board member group put together so that we could do this upright and really try to help our athletes in our community.
I know you just launched this. It had to be maybe a couple of weeks ago, because I saw it and I was like, oh, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Because I knew it had been, I mean, not that I won't say that I knew it had been missing, because I hadn't thought about it, because that's not a sport that I sort of went into next, but I always recognized that maybe there wasn't that kind of organizing body over it.
Yeah.
So what's the, I mean, I know that sounds silly, but what is the mission for the Mississippi Triathlon Club?
The mission is to invite, encourage, and build and strengthen everybody, whether you're short, you're tall, it doesn't matter. We want to grow the sport of triathlon, and the reason why is because there are so many gifts that the sport gives back and that it teaches you and that you can pass on to your kids. You know, it's the gifts are overflowing when you get into it for a while, and it's kind of like a church in some ways. You know, you have folks there that have experience, and then you want to pass that gift on to the youth, right? And that gift will instill their life, it helps them mature, and it's something good to have the rest of your life.
I don't think anybody, no matter what level you are or what it is you choose to do, should do fitness alone.
Absolutely.
Fitness communities, whatever yours looks like, whether it's a walking club, running club, boxing gym, weight, I mean, all the things, is just better with like-minded people who are trying to get better at the same thing.
Absolutely. You know, it's like, you know, if you remember when you did that first walk around the block, or you did your first mile, or you did your first 5K, you know, you were excited about that. And, you know, you want to share that with somebody. And then finally, you know, we've got a group where you can actually do that. And so, and then you've got people there who understand that, what it took for you to, if you were, you know, the first mile or your first 5K or your marathon or your triathlon, you know, it's, you've got somebody there that has been through there. They understand it. They knew what it took for you to go through that. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we want, you know, just to kind of share that experience with and encourage each other. We need that.
So we need to define triathlon, because I feel like there are folks that are listening that know that that's got something with lots of things. And then there's some that's probably competed or done or enjoy the sport. But Donovan, how do you describe a triathlon? Now you're trying to recruit members, okay? So be gentle with how you go about describing this.
Sanity relief, maybe it could be one description. But I would say, well, first of all, it's swimming, and then it's biking, and then it's running, and the distances will vary. They have something called a super sprint. It's super short distances that can be just a short, you know, maybe 400 meters, which is maybe a couple laps in the pool. To you know, maybe a 3 mile bike, and then maybe a 1 mile run, all the way up to something that is, you know, 300 miles, which is something on the other side of the spectrum, something that you can chase after you've been in it for forever. And so there's something for everyone, and it's kind of one of those things where, you know, if you are one of those folks that went out and went around the block for the first time, you might ask yourself that question: what's next? And so there's always something next that you can do in this sport that will take you into it, and it'll take you as far as you want to go.
And you never get bored, because you have three outlets or modalities to sort of like rotate sort of through.
That's right.
Which makes it a little bit unique. And I do feel like there's this gateway. You start out running, maybe you do a half marathon, and then if you do a marathon, you're like, what next? And if you don't want to go further, then you start looking at, you know, you just sort of naturally transition into the triathlon sort of area. It feels like, Donovan, every day, or maybe more now than, or maybe less now, but I don't know, because we got saturated with 5Ks, running events.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy now. Used to, you only had the Mississippi Blues Marathon. Now we've got wonderful marathons from the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
That's right.
To Central, to even in the Delta. You've got options now. I hear less about triathlon opportunities. Do we have, like larger, I know there's some sprints, but does Mississippi have like a mainstay half or full triathlon option each year?
You know, after COVID, a lot of the races were mom and pop races, and it was just impossible to keep them alive. And so we unfortunately did lose some of those races, but we are starting to see them come back. And so, you know, on our website, we actually have some team members that have actually curated a list of races that are going on in Mississippi. And it's, you don't have to pay anything to go to our website and look at it. We've got them right there on the main page. And there's actually, you know, a lot more than I thought. And so that was encouraging to see them start coming back. And they're all different distances, you know, from beginner to, you know, experienced, you name it, they're out there. They're coming back.
And well, that's cool to see too. And I like one thing too about triathlons. I say I like, I've never done one, but I like the idea that there's all these different types too. You may have like run, bike, run, or you may have like, you know, it's not always just the traditional swim, swim, bike, run, and sort of that way. Or you can have like team options. You can like have all of these sort of things. But it's also kind of a daunting sport to get into. People look and go, man, I can doggy paddle, but maybe I can't swim.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I haven't ridden a bike since I was, you know, in my neighborhood as a kid. How do you encourage folks to try something different?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And what I tell a lot of my athletes is walk out the front door. That's the first thing you do, is put one foot out forward and just start making the effort and keep at it, you know, the consistency. But with the sport, being around other folks who do the sport and just hanging out with them, you know, just go run with them, go hang out and swim with them and see what it's about and experience it. Go explore it. Get out of your comfort zone. I tell my athletes to go out and do something that scares them, not something dangerous, but something that's scary.
Swimming in the reservoir scares me.
Of course, you know. But, you know, of course, and, you know, being out there with somebody in a kayak, for sure. But, you know, that's part of why we made the club, is so that you could go out and experience that for the first time. If you want to do that, there are folks there that want to see you grow in the sport if that's what you want to chase after.
Yeah, and you start in a pool. You don't necessarily have to start.
Of course, yeah, definitely start in the pool. But, yeah, to answer the question is start small, you know, give it a shot. Try to find other folks who are doing that thing and go hang out with them. And that's why we created the club, is so that you could have that path to go hang out and learn about the sport.
Will there be like meetups and things to practice, or mm-hmm. just not where it's like organized workouts per se, but mm-hmm. like, hey, we are going to be at the reservoir, or we're going to be wherever mm-hmm. in that way. Yeah. Okay, Donovan, let's take a break, but we've got more with Donovan Lewis. He is a new board member for the new Mississippi Triathlon Club.
Upon you, what you expect, but you're not coming home with me tonight. You just want attention. You don't want my heart. Maybe you just hit the thought of me with someone new. Yeah, you just want attention. I knew from the start. You're just making sure I never get it over you. Over you. What do you do tonight? What do you do?
Making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm, also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app and on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget Supertalk TV, we are on your computer and mobile device. Probably not the best day to talk about running and biking, but swimming's a good thing on like the hottest day so far of the year. But we are talking about that Mississippi has a new Mississippi Triathlon Club. One of the board members is with us today, Donovan Lewis, and we're trying to help spread the word because I think this is just such a good thing. And if you're into it, or you've always wondered it, or you had somebody, I feel like now is the time to sort of get in and help it grow. Have y'all seen a good, response to it?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, in the years past where we've had other clubs, you know, you can always see an influx. But this time, this go around, people are ready. You know, we had a huge rush when we opened up our Facebook page. And then they were kind of anticipating the website going up, and finally we got it, you know.
So, what's the web address?
Yeah, so the website is mstriathlonclub.com.
So original. No,
yeah, I know, right?
But it's just MS. You don't spell out Mississippi.
Nope. Yep.
And that way. You mentioned listing some of the events that are coming up. What are some mm-hmm. of those that you know that are coming up? We were just talking about one off air, mm-hmm. the Heart of Dixie, which is synonymous yep. with the Neshoba County Fair.
That's
which
right.
I can't believe we're already talking about that.
I know.
Again, it's coming right around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little different because you can do teams. And
that's right.
And so... tell us about that.
Yeah, so Heart of Dixie is a unique race for Mississippi because it is a point-to-point race. And what that means is once you come out of the swim and you transition to your bike, you'll hop on your bike and you actually bike to a different location, whereas traditionally you would come right back to where you swam. You got out of the water and you go back to your transition area. This race is a little different because you hop out of the water, you get on your bike, you bike to a different location, on your way to the Neshoba County Fair, and you drop off your bike and you swap your bike out for your run shoes, grab your run shoes and your hat, and you take off and you do the last leg of your triathlon on the run, and then you finish around a dirt racetrack, and it's
that
iconic.
Cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
How many years have they been doing that?
You know, I want to say it's been 30 plus years.
Wow.
It's been around for a hot minute.
Okay, I knew it was one of the more favorite ones. I mm-hmm. just 30 years, I just don't think I realized that.
Yeah.
Because again, I feel like the sport of triathlons in Mississippi has not lacked, but kind of like in terms of popularity.
Right.
You've got coming up July 4th, you've got the Watermelon Classic, which is bringing in like 1,200 you know, runners, one of the largest 5Ks. So I didn't realize that event had been going on so long. Are there any others that stick out for folks?
Yep. Double Dash is coming out. It's one of our only local races, one of them anyway, and that's a pretty iconic, fun one, put on by a great group of folks who know what they're doing when it comes to putting on races, and they've supported us, and we love them. It's, you know, we're all a small community of athletes and trying to give back in different ways, and so we actually love and try to support the Double Dash, so that's a fun one.
When is it?
That one, I think, is on our website, and I'm sorry, I don't have the date on that
fine.
One for sure, but it's right around the corner.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one is definitely a good one to do.
So if they're listening and they want to get into it, what's the mm-hmm. easiest? You said just step out and challenge yourself. But mm-hmm. if you don't have the bike, because mm-hmm. that's like an expense, I think most yeah. folks have running shoes.
Sure.
If you know how to swim, you probably have a swimsuit you can throw on and survive.
Mm-hmm.
What are like the bare minimum entry level, like bring a bike that doesn't have training wheels? Is that like, or are there specific types for you to ease yourself into it?
Yeah, you know, we always do simulation races where if you're not confident enough to go do one of those races, you could actually go swim either at the lake or in a pool somewhere, and then transition, just practice getting on your bike, whatever bike that might be. And if you don't have one, if you're a member of a gym, you could go hop on a spin bike for a little bit, right? And try to go for time. And after you do that, make it fun. Have your shoes packed up in the car or in the locker room. Go throw the shoes on and go head out for a run on a trail somewhere nearby.
You think you're fit? I dare you to go hop on a spin bike and go as fast as you can for a good 7 to 10 minutes, and then hop off and see if you can't make a 100-meter dash
I know.
As quickly as you can.
Well, you know,
like Bambi out there.
it's all about pacing yourself. You know, with the shorter races, yeah, it's going to be an all-out effort. But for some of the longer ones, we pace ourselves, you know. And when you really get into the sport, you know, you can get watches that will track your heart rate and track your pace and all that fun stuff. But
which I think that's part of what the running and the triathlon sports provide us working adults who, you know, can kind of nerd out mm-hmm. on it, right?
Yeah,
like, because
yeah.
it's really about just self-improvement, you versus you, kind of mm-hmm. getting in, nerding out on the numbers and your stuff, and mm-hmm. you know, you're in a different part in your life, so it's not about making, you know, a college team or the Olympics or, you know, like anything like that. It's just about being out there, you know, being the best you.
Mm-hmm.
Rhino said the Double Dash is August the 3rd. So it
August
is,
the 3rd, thank you.
It
yeah.
is right uh-huh. around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan, how did you get into triathlons?
Well, so I went to Southern Miss and
to the top.
Oh, yep, to the top. And I was lived in the gym for a while, and I wanted something different. I don't know what it was, but Hattiesburg had a triathlon that I wanted to try, so I went out there. I was already a cyclist in high school, all through high school, and I was like, let me just try this, you know. And I took a swim class, scuba class while I was at Southern Miss, and so it just kind of made sense, you know, why not? And so I went out there, signed up for the race, and hated it. It kicked my tail. It was so hard. I remember going home with my tail between my legs. But I think that's when I got bit by the bug. And then I was just like, you know what? I need to go back and try it. And I remember when Mississippi Heat Triathlon Club put on Soak Up the Sun out in one of our neighborhoods out here in Reunion Subdivision. And I went out there and tried my second triathlon. And I panicked in the water. And I was like, okay. But I wanted to keep trying this because I just, it mm-hmm. was a challenge. It was a great challenge. And I did it. I did my what I called my first official triathlon out there. And boy, I knew I was hooked after that.
What's in your resume now?
In my resume of all the triathlons,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how many sprints I've done or Olympics. I've done, I think, 10 half Ironman. I've done 14 Ironman full distance, 140.6 miles. And
that's crazy.
And then I did a triple Ironman Ultraman Florida.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. Something's not right.
What's wrong with you?
If you think I'm bad, you should talk to my girlfriend. She's...
Yeah, I know. It definitely can be addicting. It can be a lot of fun. It's funny that our origin stories of getting in, at least into that community, are similar, Donovan, because mm-hmm. at Southern Miss, I learned to, when I say learn to run, but I signed up for my first 5K. It started on campus. It left the Payne Center, and then it went around.
Yeah.
And it introduced you to the Longleaf Trails, which
yeah.
if you're not familiar, man, those are just such a gem
Fantastic.
For the Pine Belt area
yeah.
for runners and cyclists and all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in apartments right next to the baseball fields that had direct access to the Longleaf Trail.
Yeah.
And so, and that kicked my tail too. I can't, uh-huh. I'm not going to say my time because I finished. And so, uh-huh. you know, everybody's race is different, but it kicked my tail. And I would get out and go and try to learn how to like run further, faster on the Longleaf Trails. And that's where my bug for running definitely mm-hmm. was caught. And there's a really great community of runners in Hattiesburg.
Oh my gosh, yeah, and they're all over. You know, the community here, it's so funny. I mean, we actually recognize when we're driving down the road, we might see some folks running down the trail, and I know who it is based on their run pattern before I see their face, you know. But the community out here is wonderful. If it's not your main family, it's your second or your third, you know.
Sometimes you like them better.
Yeah.
How long were you into the sport of triathlon before you got into coaching?
I was in it for about 12 years. And, you know, of course, I still love the sport, still in it. So it's been about 15 years now in the sport. And
why? How have you not gotten bored?
There's always something different. There's always another challenge. There's always something right around the corner that, you know, I'm not necessarily racing against other people. I'm racing against myself. And that is one of those core things that we try to show people, is that you're not trying to beat the person next to you necessarily all the time. You're always asking yourself, what's next, you know? And so that's kind of one of those things that happens with me when I race. It, you know, when I first started my first triathlon, I was scared to death. But there was that draw to it, you know? You got to itch that scratch. And then next thing you know, you knock that out and you got good at it. So what's next, you know? And you kind of work up to the half Ironman, and then the full. And then, man, they even have ultra distances out there if you want to do it.
So what's next for you, Donovan?
I did two full Ironman back-to-back within a couple months of each other just recently, so I need a little bit of a break. So I'm going to have some fun this summer with sprint triathlons and hang out with the athletes and really hammer on Mississippi Triathlon Club.
And if people want to join or learn more, where do they go?
mstriathlonclub.com.
And what's the membership?
Membership is, it's only $30 for the year, and you have access to some other resources like biking routes, running routes. We're going to have clinics and all kinds of activities to get you engaged and up to speed if you're interested in getting into the sport.
Do something that makes you a little nervous, huh?
Actually, always do something that scares you.
Always do something that scares you. All righty. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time, Donovan. Look forward to seeing how that club grows. I think it's such a good thing. But you guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Becca Turner.
She looks healthy and sane.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
The line, and I do what is right like I should.
Welcome back to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We're always on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, but don't forget, you can watch us too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV, and you've heard us gearing up for the 12th annual Palmer Home for Children Radiothon is right around the corner. It's not this Thursday, but it's going to be next Thursday, July the 11th, and joining us is President and CEO of Palmer Home for Children, Drake Bassett. Hey, Drake.
Hey, Rebecca, how are you doing?
Gosh, it feels like we were just there. This year has just sort of flown by, and it does that every year. You just kind of wonder, where does the time go? And then we're right back talking about the great day for the Radiothon. How does it feel there? Does it feel like it went by in a flash?
Yeah, it certainly did. And, you know, a lot of things happen. And in some ways, no matter what you do, because we work with children, we sort of feel like we're on the school year calendar. Mm-hmm. You know, we work every day of the year, of course, but the reality is when kids get out for summer, it makes you realize, wow, that school year went quick, just like it used to. So we're really happy to be in the summertime and glad to see our kids enjoying a break from the day-to-day of school. They're swimming, they're involved with sports, so it's a nice time of year. It is a little hot, mm-hmm. but apart from that, we're all doing great.
Well, that's good to hear, and it's always hot around the Radiothon, but that just means that it's that time of year, and we can stay indoors and hear about all the good things happening at Palmer Home for Children. And, you know, sometimes we take it for granted, Drake, that we've been doing this now for 12 years here at Super Talk. We just assume everybody knows about the good work that you guys are doing, but there's a chance that somebody's listening to good things for the first time today, hadn't ever heard of the Radiothon, you know, maybe hadn't really heard of Palmer Home for Children. So when you come across someone who maybe knew to what you guys do, how do you kind of explain it? Because, man, it takes us all day. It takes us 12 hours to really wrap up the whole story of all the good stuff going on there. But how do you kind of describe y'all's day-to-day work there?
Well, I think, you know, having been here for a number of years, your answer to that question, you know, gets simpler. The situations are sometimes harder maybe than they've ever been in some cases. But our answer is really simple. We know that from time to time, families struggle, and when they struggle, often it's children who are out of control. They can't control or change their circumstance. They can't shape or even make the decisions that parents or guardians make, and so they're sort of left helpless to the circumstances. And we also know that families are trying to stay together. All of that to say that when that goes down, there is often a time and a place and a need for somewhere to provide a safe harbor, a safe landing for a brother, a sister, or maybe three or four siblings coming off of a tough situation. And they need a place where they can come and they can live and be safe, go to school, and continue childhood. You know, just because all this is happening doesn't mean that they're not still 6 years old or 8 years old or 12 years old. That's their childhood. And we want to make it as positive as possible under the circumstances. And Palmer Home has been doing that now coming up on 130 years, where providing a home for children in need is exactly, you know, the heart of who we are. And there are a lot of other aspects, as you say, to the work that we do. But at our core, we want to be here when the phone rings and somebody says, we really need your help to care for kids.
And that can happen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days. Drake, you mentioned summer, the kids may be getting a break from, you know, school and the traditional, mm-hmm. but you guys are always on standby. Do you really have like a group always on standby, 24-hour phone access or whatever in case of a call comes? How does that work?
Yeah, we really do. And you're absolutely right. I mean, just last week, we welcomed several siblings together. And this was their first time to be at Palmer Home, of course. But if you think about their situation, they're coming from the world that they know, however difficult that might have been. They're coming from people that they know, however challenging that might have been. They are coming to what we think of as a beautiful campus and a very restful place, but it's all brand new. Well, the team that helped them find their way to us is the team that's on call all the time. So if a family calls and reaches out and says, we need your help, sometimes we partner with the state of Mississippi, CPS, or even Department of Health, or sometimes the school system will call and say, we have a situation, would you be willing to help us? Well, you know, that's not an 8-to-5 kind of urgency. That's a 24/7. And so we're glad that people can reach out to us, and we are prepared to be as responsive as possible and to get there and to let them know what options are. Most of the time, it's us. It can be us. Other times, there are greater needs. And because of the awareness that comes by way of, you know, Radiothon and our relationship mm-hmm. with Supertalk, you know, it's nice that there are other organizations out there that we've partnered with simply because we're all in this together. And mm-hmm. so if it's not the place is not us at that moment, like it just doesn't make the best sense. We're so grateful for people who are out there who care about children, and we'll partner with them. So we're here to help families. We're here to help children. And really, really grateful that we've been able to do it. And really grateful that Super Talk and the Radiothon has spread the message. I think every year we've been doing this, we get that phone call from someone that didn't know about us, but they're in the middle of a situation where they need help. And so if it weren't for that big day where we're talking about these stories and telling about what we do, the good things, you know, then some of these families wouldn't know about us. And so we're grateful for that.
You bring up a good point, Drake, because you talk about CPS, you talk about schools, you talk about the state sort of connecting with you, but it doesn't take a third party organization to reach out to you guys at Palmer Home. It can take someone who is just concerned. It can take someone who's within the situation. All it takes is someone reaching out and asking questions and sort of connecting. How do they do that? I know y'all have a referral process or referral page. If someone is listening to Good Things and it resonates and they didn't know that maybe there's somewhere they could call to sort of help with all that, what do you say to them, Drake?
Yeah, I always say, you know, reach out and go to our website, because we do have a referral page. It's a place to start. There's an emergency number there if somebody wants to call. So they can go to palmerhome.org and, they can, you know, look it up on your phone and it's right there. You know, if you just type in Palmer Home, even, you know, you'll be able to find us. But we do understand that when these things happen, it's typically unexpected. There may have been signals, you know, from the outside looking in that this was moving towards a situation that requires emergency response, requires us being prepared, like I said, on the weekend or middle of the night to take in children. Mm-hmm. You know, but when you're in the middle of that on the other side, you don't know what to do. So if somebody knows of a situation and wants to help a family, you can certainly direct them our way. And if there is somebody out there who has custody, it could be, you know, it could be a grandparent. We work with grandparents all the time who have accepted custody or responsibility for the next generation. We work with mothers, fathers. We really care about, you know, the whole family. The point is that if you need to just have a conversation about your situation, we will help you in every way possible. And I think that's one of the blessings for Mississippi that Palmer Home is here to do that. And we certainly do have qualified people to have those conversations.
And we're going to have long conversations coming up July 11th for the 12th annual Palmer Home for Children Radiothon. Gosh, I've only been part of it. I always forget. It's either 8 or 9 years. I can't remember. I haven't been through all 12 of them. But I feel like, gosh, it's just incredible over the last 12 years how much has been raised, how much awareness. From your part perspective, Drake, are you guys there at Palmer Home? What's it like over the last 12 years? Do you think each year, like, it can't get better than the last? And then we always seem to one-up ourselves. And so, you know, there's a lot of fun and anticipation around Radiothon, even though it's not about the total number. But, you know, it's also a lot of fun that day. We talk tough topics, but we also have a lot of fun.
I think that's, you know, and I've said this before, and I think people have heard me say it, that, but for people who haven't heard about Palmer Home or even this particular day, Radiothon, you know, this show is titled Good Things. And if you look out in the world today, you can give me a list of bad things. I know that. I see it. You see it. We all struggle with some of the things around us. But one of the things that for 130 years has been a truly good thing in the state of Mississippi is Palmer Home for Children. Long before I got here, and it'll be here long after I'm gone, Palmer Home is a good thing for Mississippi because it is helping so many families and so many children. So on Radiothon Day, when we raise that money and we do have fun and we prod each other to, you know, reach into our pocket and find that $5 or just whatever someone chooses to give to us, what we're really saying is come on along with us and see that this is a good thing. And I say, put your fingerprints on it. You know, if we're going to figure out, you know, who's been a part of this thing, we want good people involved with good things. And that's Palmer Home for Children.
And they can learn more coming up July the 11th. But if they want to learn more now, where do they go, Drake?
Yeah, I'll send them right back to the website, palmerhome.org. You'll see a lot about what we do, how we do it, you know, some of the stories. And then, like you said, on Radio Fun Day, we're going to be talking a lot about how we do this, and we're so
excited.
How we do
that, and how we get Rhino a haircut. This is Rhino's annual haircut.
Yeah, he's on a roll.
He's on a roll. So we'll see you soon, Drake. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Rebecca. Always nice to see you.
All right, you guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
I'm Lauren McGraw.
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Bring me down. Can't none. Bring me down. because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room with
clearly, the writers for the song did not live in Mississippi during July and August. I'm not saying you can't find happiness in our heat indexes and humidity. I'm just saying it's harder than normal, and there are better parts of the day than others to try to find that joy and happiness, because, guys, it's just hot. It's just hot out there, and it's just getting started. And I know it'll probably get hotter, but those first few days, it's just you got to take your time to sort of adjust and get used to it and just accept the fact that you're going to complain about it for the next 6 to 8 weeks. And I just so appreciate, and it doesn't matter. I'll be saying the same thing when it comes around and it's 32 degrees outside, and those that want it to be 100 degrees outside will post, 100 degrees is better than 32. There, I said it. And now it's...
You'll never hear me say it.
32 degrees is better than 100. There, I said it.
You will never hear me in the dead of winter go, man, I can't wait for summertime.
So there are some hardcore, like, weather enthusiasts. You like it one way or the other. And then you just sort of suffer through this particular time. But I do genuinely feel for all of you who have outdoor jobs, or you have to be out in it, roofers, those that have to get out and take packages, construction workers. I'm going to miss somebody, landscape architects. If your job requires you to not be with AC, then God bless you over the next couple of weeks, and make sure you stay hydrated.
Living like a European.
Yes. Make sure you stay well hydrated. We don't talk much politics here on Good Things, but when I see a good headline, it's really not about the politics. It's about a state law that I hope Mississippi has, because I think more things should be, be resolved in this way. A primary election in Oregon was resolved with a coin flip under state law. Yes. First off, I want to know the backstory of how that even became a state law. Like, what went down to the point those lawmakers were like, screw it, grab a quarter. Like, this is it. I'm tired of fighting about it. Make it law. Let's just see what happens and if everybody will be okay with it.
I mean, you got to have a tiebreaker somewhere.
You do have to have a tiebreaker somewhere or somehow. Sadly, though, the winner of the flip was considered ineligible to run, so there's that. But it did come down.
What was the point of the flip then?
I don't know. But it was the Republican primary for the 8th House District in Eugene. It was resolved with a coin flip after the top two write-in candidates, there's another one, received 7 votes each. It's a tough day. There's so many things that just appreciate about all this, other than just mainly, though, down to the fact of it was resolved with a coin flip. I mean, that's...
Spent all that time and energy getting out to get out the vote, and you ran a whole campaign, and you got 7 whole votes.
And you were rode in.
Still tied with somebody else.
These were 2 write-ins that were tied. So, you know, like, sink on that. And then finally,
that's even worse. That means you spent all that time campaigning, trying to get out the vote, and you didn't even get 7 votes.
So the state law requires, this is in Oregon, the tie to be broken by lot, which in the past has meant a roll of the dice or a coin flip.
I think you could also do drawn straws in that scenario as well.
Like the short straw?
Oh,
yeah. Does the short straw win or does the short straw lose?
You would have to agree to the rules set out. So you'd have, like, I believe that would be used in the case where you had multiple people, much like throwing a dice. Or throwing a die, since it's singular.
So the
flip, but if it's only 2, you just need a coin toss.
The flip came up tails, giving the nomination to...
Tails
never fails. There was one other further hiccup, however, as the state's sore loser law bars this person from accepting the nomination since they already lost something else. I don't know. Anyway, they had to... you were doing good with your state law, and then
so
you had to come...
two write-ins get... A grand total between the two of them of 14 votes in the primary. To break the tie, they had a coin toss. Mm-hmm. And the winner of the coin toss didn't find out until after the coin toss that they were ineligible therefore wasting everybody's time.
Do you know how many things could be settled with a coin toss?
Just about any binary decision.
Mm-hmm. Especially like amongst siblings, family, fighting over where to go to eat. Screw it. Like, who's got a quarter? Who's got the penny? Heads or tails? Like, let's just and sort of move on. Don't you have a coin toss theory, though? Like, if you have...
Yeah, I mean, if you're having a hard time deciding something for yourself, first off, you need to be more honest with yourself because you can test it. Just get a coin and your two things, the two things you're looking for. Do I want a hamburger for supper or do I want pasta for supper? As soon as you flip that coin, the second it leaves your thumb and it hits the top of its arc, deep down,
you know what you're
hoping for.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be like, best two out of three. Stick with us, though. You got the boys up next with Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I will meet you back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.